Our scripture reading this morning and our text for our sermon is going to be taken from Genesis chapter 22, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. Genesis chapter 22. Continuing our series through the major covenants and promises given in the book of Genesis, we've come to Genesis 22. This one in reference to the promise given to Abraham. The promise of a seed, the promise of a son through whom blessings would come to all people or to all nations. So Genesis chapter 22, that's found on page 19 in our Pew Bibles. We're going to be reading the first 19 verses. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. When they had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." The two of them went on together. When they had reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide," and to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. And it's particularly what we find at the end of verse 17, where we find our verse 18 there, that through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. As far as we're reading together in God's word, may he add a blessing and increase upon the preaching of that word. A congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we celebrate what is called Christmas as we remember that Christ was given, that Christ was born, that he was given to be a sacrifice. Here in Genesis 22, we find a beautiful picture, a foretaste, if you will, of a father who gives his son. A father who willingly lays his son on an altar to be a sacrifice. And yet Abraham's hand was held back. "Abraham, do not lay a hand on your son Isaac, because Isaac is not the one who needs to die." Even as Abraham said in faith as he approached the mountain, His son Isaac asked him, "Father, we have the wood and the fire. The knife is here. Where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham says with faith, "God will provide. The Lord will provide." And so Mount Moriah became known as the mountain where the Lord will provide. The Lord provides the sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. As we've been working our way through the significant covenants and promises here through the book of Genesis, we've come to this promise here given to Abraham at the end of our reading, where it was promised that a child, that an offspring, that a seed would be given. A seed that would provide blessing, a child that would provide benefits, gifts, graces, not only to the Jews, not only to Abraham's biological descendants, not only to the Hebrew people, but to all people. All nations will be the recipients of this blessing. This child, this fountain of blessing, this source of blessing, was promised to the people across the years, across the millennia. Not only was the birth of Jesus Christ promised to Mary and Joseph, as we read a few minutes ago, he was promised all the way back to Adam and Eve. So today we come to what is called the Abrahamic Covenant. And the Abrahamic Covenant is unique in the time frame that passed between the promise and the fulfillment. Now, children, do you know what it's like to wait? Today is Christmas. You probably have been waiting for Christmas for the past few days, the past few weeks. Maybe at the end of Christmas break last year, you started to count down, only 364 days until the next Christmas. But can you imagine waiting for a promised day to arrive, not only a few weeks, not only a few months, not only a few years, but 25 years between the promise of a great gift until the reception of that gift? 25 years waiting for a promise, a promised blessing to be received. Well, that's how long Abraham had to wait for his son Isaac, the child who will bring laughter. But this was not the only waiting, because as we're going to see, Isaac, although being the child of the promise, is not the child of the promise. In fact, it will be another 1,800 years before the promise given to Abraham would be fulfilled. So today we look at the promise made to Abraham and how Jesus Christ fulfills this promise as being the seed through whom blessings will come to all people. In our first point, then, we consider the context as we have in the past few weeks. What is the context of Genesis 22, and how does that set the contrast, set the stage upon which this promise is received? Well, who is the one that the promise is given to? Our text says that it's given to Abraham, and who is Abraham? Well, Abraham is actually his second name. His name given at birth was Abram, born in the land of Ur, spending years in Haran, and in that land, which was known for worshiping the moon goddess, Abraham was called out. "Abram," the Lord said, "come out of your people, come out of your land, leave the land of bondage, leave the land of darkness, and come into the land of light. Come into the land of the promise. Come into the land of rest, the promised land that I will show you." Abram was born a pagan at birth, if you will. Yet God called him, graciously called him out of darkness, graciously revealing himself to him back in Genesis 12. And in Genesis 12, the Lord says to Abraham, "I am binding myself to you. I will make you into a great nation. Kings will come from you. I will bless you. I will give you a seed. I will give you offspring. I will give you children as much as the stars in the sky. This past week, I traveled to visit my family, my parents in Iowa, and I had my children get out at night, come outside, look up. Look at the stars. Maybe some of you did that. Do you look to find the Bethlehem star this past week? Look at the stars of the sky. Can you count them, Abraham? I will give you as many children as the stars of the sky or the sand on the seashore. I will give you this land, the land of promise, the land of rest, the land of prosperity and peace, and I will bless you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. So Abraham received the promise of offspring, of children. He received the promise of land and the promise of blessing. But this poses a problem to Abraham because Abram at this point did not have any children. The closest thing that Abraham had to offspring was perhaps his nephew Lot or his trusted servant Eliezer. Abraham was promised again, not only in chapter 12, but in chapter 15, and again in chapter 17, you will have seed, you will have offspring, you will have children. Yet Abraham and Sarah spent many long years with no seed and no children. There was a challenge to this promise. Abraham, will you believe the promise, even though looking at it from a human perspective, the promise cannot be kept? The promise is unkeepable. Abraham, you are nearly 100 years old. Sarah, nearly 90. And Sarah was barren. So there's a battle that's taking place in Abraham's own heart. Will he embrace the promises of God, looking to God to fulfill the promise to send a child, miraculously providing a seed through whom blessings will come? Or will he doubt? Like Sarah, even laugh. Abraham would go on to put his wife's life in danger, lying about their marriage, saying that she's only my sister. And in addition, you have the whole drama with Hagar and the slave woman who produces a child, yet that child is not the child of the promise. In fact, that child will be the seed of the serpent that will go to battle against the seed of the woman. In all these things, Abraham was promised by God. This one, Ishmael, that's not the one. You, through Sarah, will have a son. And in Galatians 3, these two sons are contrasted to each other. You have Ishmael and a child of a slave woman representing the law, representing bondage, representing the way of man that does not produce life, that does not produce blessing, that only produces futility and slavery. And then you have Isaac, the seed of the promise through whom there is blessings and grace and life. And thankfully, the Lord keeps his promise in chapter 21. Isaac is born to Abraham and Sarai, just as the Lord had said. But then we come to chapter 22, and we find another conflict, another test to the promise. God says to Abraham, take your son, your only begotten son, the son whom you love. Now, this wasn't the only son of Abraham, was he? Yet God identifies Isaac as your only son, the one whom you love, your dearly begotten. Go, take your son, give him to me as a sacrifice. Offer him as a burnt offering. Go and kill the son of the promise. Kill the line of the promise through whom the blessings will come. Snuff out the seed of the woman. But Abraham lived by faith. Abraham believed that the Lord could bring back his son from the dead, or that the Lord would provide a substitute. And God did provide a substitute in 22 verse 13. A ram was found. But it's interesting that the Lord provides a ram and not a lamb. Back in verse 7, Isaac says, "Where is the lamb?" God provides a ram, but not a lamb in our text. A substitute, but a partial substitute, a shadow substitute, if you will. Because the Lamb of God was not yet on the stage. God provides a substitute, Isaac's life is spared, and the Lord blesses, repeats the promises that he had made. We do note that when we compare the first promises that the Lord gave to Abram back in 12, verse 3, the Lord said to Abram, "In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." That's 12, verse 3. "In you, Abram, shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Jump to the end of our reading, 22, verse 18, the Lord says this, "In your offspring, in your seed, in your child, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." So who was this promised seed through whom all the nations would be blessed? Well, to summarize our first point, then, we could say that the context of the promise given to Abraham by the Lord, the context is a context of impossibility. It's the context of sin and rebellion and slavery, because these people too that receive the promise, the ones that are given the covenants, are not perfect, do not deserve, do not earn, do not merit these blessings. It's man's inability and sin. Man, like Abraham learns, cannot earn, cannot manipulate, cannot purchase the promises through their own schemes. The promise is unattainable from a human perspective. With man, it is impossible. But for God, all things are possible. So the promise of a seed that will bring blessings to the world is given to Abraham, and Abraham receives it by faith, and the Lord keeps his promise. So we come to our reading from Galatians 3, and we find that the fulfillment of this promise is not in Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Judah or Joseph or David or Solomon or Rehoboam. It's Jesus. This is, after all, Christmas Day. This is an Advent series. Who is the one that God had promised, the one through whom blessings would come to all people, to all nations? The church has not just waited 25 years. The Old Testament church waited for thousands of years for this child to come. Since the very beginning in Genesis 3, we saw that a few weeks ago. Who is the seed of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent? His arrival will be supernatural, just as Isaac's birth was unexpected, impossible from human perspective. A 90-year-old barren wife does not bring forth a seed. A teenage virgin named Mary does not produce a child. It is impossible. Yet, by a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit, a virgin conceives and gives birth to a son, and this son is the one through whom blessings will come. Because the promises of the covenant are not contingent on man's ability. The promises of the covenant are given by God to man, swore by oath, "I will bless you. And I will bless all nations through your seed." As we saw in our first point, we still need the Lamb of God to come to take away the sins of the world. We still need a perfect substitute that was given by the Heavenly Father, who did not withhold his hand, but allowed the knife to plunge into the breast of his Son as the nails pierced his hands and his feet, so that his blood flowed. There remains one chosen special son who becomes a substitute, a sacrifice through which blessings would spring forth and flow and cover as water covers the depths of the sea. As we read in Galatians 3 verse 16, the promise given to Abraham was not a promise that was only seen in an abundance of children. Paul, taking the promise given to Abraham in Genesis 22, says the promise is not in reference to seeds being a plural, but seed being a singular thing. Yes, there will be an abundance of children that will come through the biological offspring of Abraham. There is going to be a nation that will come from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes filling the land. The Jews or the Hebrew people are going to be a populous people by the time they come out of Egypt. And even speaking to the New Testament church, there is going to be an abundance of Abraham's seed. Anyone who embraces the promises, who embraces the God of the covenant, is by faith a child of Abraham. We, as a New Testament church, are Abraham's seed, Abraham's children, through whom the covenant blessings apply to us and to our seed as well as we embrace them by faith. But there is one seed, one child, one fountain from which all blessings will come. And this child brings blessings. The interesting thing about Genesis, or about Galatians 3, is that it speaks about curses, right? That's the context of Galatians 3. There are cursed is everyone who breaks the law, cursed to everyone who is not able to fully keep all of God's commandments. Cursing and death. Sin brings cursing, and cursing brings death. But Christ, the promised seed, the promised blessed child of Abraham, brings blessings. Gospel, good news, justification by faith, the forgiveness of all our sins, not death but life, not the grave but resurrection. And to whom do these blessings extend? They extend to all the nations of the earth. The promises of the covenant are for anyone who embraces the God of the covenant by faith. To those who are near and to those who are far. The covenant covenant promises back in Genesis are fulfilled by Christ. Extended not just to Hebrews, but to Greeks, Romans, and to anyone, even those who are far off. As we've been seeing in the past few weeks, as we look at the promises of the covenant made in Genesis by the Lord, we find that they are fulfilled when we come to the book of Revelation. Listen to these words from Revelation 21, verse 24. By the light of the Lamb, the nations will walk. Revelation 7, verse 9. A great multitude from all people and all tribes were standing before the throne, clothed in white robes, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb." On that last day, the church, the triumphant, the resurrected church, will be made from people of all tribes, tongues, languages, color of skin, wherever they're born on the face of this earth, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, singing the song of the Lamb, "Salvation. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb." Jesus Christ is the promised seed. Jesus Christ is the offspring of Abraham, the mediator of the new covenant, by whose blood we find the complete forgiveness of all our sins. So it's Christmas Day. We've come to celebrate the birth of the promised Son. Remember what the angels said to the shepherds in Luke 2? I bring you good news of great joy that is for the Jews. No. I bring you good news of great joy that is for all people. Christmas is something that everyone can embrace, that everyone can celebrate. Jesus came and died for the sins of people from every nation. The Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. The offspring of Abraham has arrived. So the good news of great joy that we have today to celebrate is that through Jesus Christ and faith in Him, blessings come to us. The blessings of the covenant, the blessings of land, a land of rest, a land of peace, a home in heaven that Jesus is building, a blessings of being part of a family, that we might be Abraham's sons and daughters by faith. The promise of blessings and life. The Christmas message is not just good news for us and for our children. It's good news for all people. There is a missional aspect to Christmas. Good news of great joy for all people. The promise has been fulfilled. The Savior has been born, and His birth should be shouted from the mountaintops. A Savior has been born. As Revelation 5 verse 9 concludes, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, for by your blood you have ransomed a people for God from every tribe, language, people, and nation. This is the work of the promised seed of Abraham, whose birth we celebrate today. Because he is born, we can have a blessed and a Merry Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Our Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the birth of Jesus Christ, that all the promises made to Abraham have been fulfilled in this one promised seed. May our hearts be filled with joy and thanksgiving. May our hearts be filled with lasting praise and adoration. May your name be upheld and may your praise be proclaimed to all people. Because a Savior has been born and he is Christ the Lord. And by his death, he is gathering a people. By his sacrifice, there is a church brought together from all nations and all people. We thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ's birth that we celebrate today. In his name we pray. Amen.